I want to talk about the idea of being spiritual. The essence of spiritual work is being. Being spiritual is a role that we play. Learning how to be is really what the game is all about. And it's kind of strange because we're all doing a good job of being. Being is the underlying truth of our existence. Being something or someone is the complication. Perhaps the biggest complication is being spiritual, because it feels like it's a hard-won achievement or attainment. In fact, attainment is one of the key words in spiritual dialogue. We all want to attain a state of being that is spiritual. But what does that mean to you? It means being connected to higher energy, truth, love for your fellow man, love for yourself, kindness, generosity, compassion. A kind of innate goodness. All extraordinary qualities. But just imagine if you walked around saying to yourself all day long, oh, I'm so good. Oh, I'm so compassionate. Oh, I'm so loving. Oh, I'm such a wonderful person. Whatever your mantra might be. See how that changes the equation. In some ways, it really debases it. The minute I am something, it separates you from the thing itself. To be compassionate and to own your compassion, in a sense, reduces that quality. It becomes a possession of yours. It becomes a defining element. And what you're really doing on some level is defining yourself in relationship to perhaps everybody else, maybe not, but for many people that's what it is. Oh, I am spiritual. The problem in all of this is the I am as a separate something. As though you are somehow not all there is. As though you are not somehow the absolute and the totality of existence. By defining yourself as something, you separate yourself from what you truly are. You make yourself a thing, an object, a person, something removed from what is. It's really hard to imagine that the journey isn't into attaining something. Why work so hard? Why make such an effort? Why go out there and do selfless work? Why walk around in robes that define you as being somehow other than, perhaps better than, separate than, more special than somebody else? And yet we have a society in which that's very common. The garb that people wear defines them as being somehow priestly, somehow elevated. And the hierarchy of that is really at deep odds with the underlying oneness of our being. Having a priestly robe does not make you a better human being than anybody else. What makes you a better human being is being a better human being. Or really, in some profoundly simple sense, being human. Being what you are. The journey we are on has often been defined as an arrival at or an attainment of something that you work hard to get to. And Rudy, you know, was a taskmaster at that. Work hard. Break yourself down. Find a way to become something. And for me, that was always at the core of the journey, that ride to becoming what I've described today in the introductory class as enlightened or awakened. I wanted to be that. I wanted to have that as part of my resume so I could walk around and go, I'm enlightened. I have achieved it. I got my PhD in spiritual studies. I am now someone who knows everything. The extraordinary thing about awakening and enlightenment is the loss of the person who wants to have it. The absolute disappearance of the you that is separated out by your enlightenment, that is made special by your enlightenment. That person evaporates. What is left is everything else. And the realization that you are all there is, all there ever was, all there will be. And it's completely present tense, that this is that, this is that. Separate your mind from all of this and just go, this too, even this. And you begin to do the dance of true awakening. The dance of true awakening is simply yes to this. You cannot have enlightenment. It is impossible to have it. And if you are striving for that, I cannot say that's the wrong thing to do, because I spent 46 years striving for that. But it was only the realization, in a profound sense, that there was nobody striving, that finally allowed realization to take place. The idea of waking up to this moment and realizing you've never seen it before. This is all cliched stuff, guys. It's all stuff you've heard before. You arrive at the place you've always been, and you see it for the first time. T.S. Eliot. You suddenly, it's so other than when it's interpreted. It's so other than when it processes itself through the separate mind. The separate mind makes you other. No mind makes you one. It's the real journey. It's the real journey that we're on. And it's ultimately simpler than anything one can say. It is the simplest truth available, and therefore the most obscure. You are that which you seek. You are that as I speak now. You're nothing but that. You are radiant, beautiful, blissful truth. If you don't feel that, it's because you're holding on to something that doesn't feel it. It's called the burden of being you. The you that wants it. You know, the you that wants it is the very thing that obstructs the you from having it. Because as long as you are caught up in this drama of getting there, you know, doing the work, struggling, fighting. I mean, I don't want to condemn that because honestly, the path is to do everything until it doesn't work. To try it all, to in a sense make yourself worthy and then discover you've always been worthy. You cannot be unworthy. You're here. You're alive. You're one with this. Not only that, you are so loved it is beyond understanding. You are so much more loved than you are able to experience. The problem with really being loved is that it will annihilate you. It limits you. True love destroys everything that you are and just releases you into being that love. There's nothing separate from it, nothing. You are worth it. You are worth embracing. You are worth loving. You are worth everything that you're trying to get, and you are already that. But it's a strange realization that has to happen for that to be known. And the journey to that realization is called your path. You're on it. Each one of you is on it. Each one of you is actually at the end of the path, but until you know that, it won't be true, or it won't be true for you. Spiritual work is not an additive process. You're not adding on to you compassion and kindness and goodness and love. You are subtracting everything that isn't kindness and goodness and compassion and love. You're taking all that other stuff and letting it go, dropping it off. One of the great things about Rudy's teaching was the letting go of stuff. Letting go of the false self, the self you are not. The idea that you are somehow lesser than or different than or other than, whatever that thing is that keeps you separated from others or even more spiritual than, that stuff has got to be let go of. And it's incremental. If you could let go of everything at one moment, you would be enlightened in this moment. But very few people can do it, and people who do it without preparation end up in asylums because they can't figure out what they are or who they are or where they come from or what this is or what it's all about. But if you do it incrementally, which is the real journey of spiritual work, the real path is letting stuff go, looking at the stuff in you that's not you, that's not real. And what you discover is that means almost everything. Almost everything. Certainly your story. The story that you carry with you day after day after day. And some of you, I can look at you and I sit with you and I feel you, you're like, oh God, another day, I gotta live through this moment. Oh my God, it's so hard. You know, a lot of you carry that stuff with you. Let it go. The process of this wonderful practice is sitting down in a state of deep stillness, asking for help to surrender, which means let go of all of the crap that you carry. Rudy had this wonderful thing. He said, give me your shit and I will turn it into energy that you can absorb. It's only shit to you. It's not shit to him. It's just energy. This energy is transformative. Drop that stuff off. Send it off into the void that is represented by whoever is sitting here and let that energy flood back into the space you have just made and free you from this stupid drama that you call your life. I mean, look, it's not really stupid. We're all really in this, and we're all carrying this stuff, and we're all trying to figure out, how do I get through another day? How do I get through? How do I live my life? We're all asking that question. You know, I have my little grandchildren, my little 2-year-old and 5-year-old grandchildren, and they're just figuring it out, and I can already feel in them, it's like, what is this? You know, why can't I have that thing that somebody else has? Why can't I have what I want? Why is life not giving me these things? And these burdens are starting to come up, these things of what is going on here? Why isn't life just free and available and everything I want? you start to build that into the system, and you start to feel deprived. You start to feel like you're not being given what you deserve, what you think you should have or want, and you start to feel cut off, and then you start to get combative, and you start to grab it from other people because you want it, and then they hit you back, and you have conflict, and then that conflict turns into guilt and anger and drama, and then that just compounds and compounds and compounds, and we become adults with this basic system in place that things aren't what they're supposed to be. How do I become what I'm supposed to become? And mostly we find all these outside ideas that are going to give us joy and happiness and balance and harmony. And some of those are considered romantic. You know, you find a partner who you can share life with. And then that, of course, becomes imperfect because nothing external is perfect at all. Everything is transitory. Everything that you get is given away or is lost or ultimately evaporates. So all of the stuff that you're seeking in the material life, everything you're working for, will not work. It will not work. It's not yours. It doesn't last. It doesn't last very long. You may get it for a little while, but it will be taken away. I don't care how much money you earn. I don't care how much fame you earn, how much recognition you get in the world. It all has to go away. So what is it that you're holding on to that you think is going to give you happiness, joy, and transcendence? Well, for many people, it's, I'm spiritual. I have the answers. I know the truth. And we have a real belief, not only in being spiritual, but in the magic of spirituality. The magic of spirituality is that I can have empowerments. That if I wear this amulet, I will be protected. If I say my mantra 4,000 times a day, that I will be a better human being. That somehow all of these things will become additive to you in a way that makes you a more complete human being and more fulfilled and ultimately spiritual. But as I'm trying to tell you, that doesn't free you, it burdens you with your own specialness. You being empowered is another thing for you to carry around. You having been blessed means that you have that blessing. No. You being blessed separates you from the truth. Let go of blessing. Let go of the amulets. Let go of magic. Let go of specialness. Let go of the supernatural. The most extraordinary thing about life is how natural it is. Supernatural is not other than natural. It's really just a more penetrating, deeper nature. You know, we do this work here. This, you might call it supernatural work because it's energy work. You know, I look at you guys and an energy is transmitted. And there are people who do healing, you know, that can touch parts of your psyche and actually help make it better. Let me explain. Touching you at a distance is not that much different than touching you right here. Touch is phenomenal. Touch is an amazing thing. You all know that. You all know what it feels like to be touched. Just touching yourself is extraordinary. Touching your two fingers, or your finger and your thumb together, is miraculous. You're touching yourself. What does that mean to touch yourself? That experience of selfhood, and then to touch other. I mean, that's one of the great joys of human experience, to touch other. This is so central to the human experience. It's not supernatural. On the other hand, it is the most natural thing there is, to touch oneself, to touch other, to comfort oneself, to be comforted, to be embraced, to be loved. This is what love and spiritual life is really about. Now, can this be done at a distance? You know, Rudy used to sit here and send energy forces into people. It's just part of a very natural process. It's not supernatural. Does all of this collective experience that we're having dissolve into something that is no longer material, no longer full of matter, more consciousness than matter? Yes. Is this world that we're in empty and full at the same time? Yes. Are all the paradoxes of existence playing themselves out as we sit here? Yes. Trying to talk about this stuff is complicated because everything that's being said is being absorbed by a mind that is mostly relating to it. I buy that, I don't buy that, sounds right, this doesn't sound right, I'm not sure if I agree with what he's saying, and it becomes very complicated. So any words that are spoken, ultimately processed by your mind, are going to give you a misunderstanding. The simplest truth available is what happens when you're not thinking, when you're not trying, when you're not doing, when you're simply being. And one of the extraordinary supernatural events that we experience in this classroom is simply sitting and being. It's fascinating what happens when you just sit and be. Suddenly, so many of the walls and barriers of your life, the things that define you, just fall away. For the process of about an hour, you sit here and you get more and more spacious, open, lighter, freer, more joyous, comfortable, comforted, and you just sit there. Is this supernatural? I think it's the most natural thing in the world. We're all sitting here in a state of natural being. It's our birthright. And as we allow all of this stuff of our life to fall away, we get lighter and lighter and lighter, and then you become enlightened. You become light. And that's a natural process. Meditation, yoga, that's what it's about. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to become lighter and freer. And most everyone in this class does that. But if you're sitting here and you're watching everybody at the end of class, it's really interesting. The minute class is over, it's, give me that. You're bringing yourself back as fast as you can. You're bringing all of your crap back into place. So the person who's sitting here again is, oh God, oh, that was exhausting. Oh my God, when does he stop talking already? It's all that kind of stuff goes on, and the person returns. This exquisite, beautiful being that you are can't rest in that space because it wants to be back in the familiar comfort of body-mind. And so you just bring it right back, and then you do this process all over again, over and over and over and over, of letting it go, letting it go. What I would try to encourage you to do is don't bring it back. Let it go. Really, deeply, profoundly surrender. The class is based on the idea of asking for help to surrender. It doesn't mean to surrender for a minute, and it doesn't mean to surrender everything but this thing, and that thing. It's total and absolute surrender. Let it go. The joy of finally letting it all go is you're free. You're free. You're free of you and your stuff. But you are freed into something indescribably unbounded, absolute, vast, tiny, indescribably paradoxical. It's what you truly are. And then the journey, the real spiritual journey, begins without you in it. There's just an unfolding that takes place. It is a daily, moment-to-moment unfolding, and it's never in the past, and it's never in the future. It doesn't care about what's coming, and the past is dead to it. It's really just this, and it keeps happening until it doesn't. It keeps happening. And if you're sitting here worried about what does it mean, where does it go, what will happen when I die, all of that stuff, you will miss so much of what's happening right now. What's happening right now is what you taste when you sit and meditate. It's what you taste when you surrender and let go and just be. You know, most of you know you see your mind playing out during your meditation, but it kind of doesn't matter. You just watch it go. It's just stuff, clouds in the sky. You're just sitting. You're just being. And the remarkable thing about just being is that it seems to have a kind of deepening quality to it. You can go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into being. Being is like going into the depth of the ocean. The deeper you go, the more expansive it is. You are one with that. That's who you are. My biggest encouragement today is stop being spiritual. Stop being special. Stop being other. Allow yourself to simply fall into, relax into, step into being itself. And again, I will tell you what I started out saying. You're good at it. You're good at it. You know how to be. Every one of you has been doing it for this lifetime, and chances are many, many lifetimes. But all of those lifetimes and all of the past of this lifetime and all of the future lifetimes are all reflected in and absolutely connected to this tiny moment. The entire absolute vastness of all being is reflected right here in you. In you. You are the inheritor of, the embodiment of, the vastness of reality. You are that now. You're not going to grow into being that. You're not going to become that. You're not going to work toward it. You're not going to arrive there. You are there. You are there now. This is that. This is that. This is all there is. The idea that it's waiting for you down the road is your own illusion. The idea that you're going to make yourself perfect and pure and wonderful and you will finally be empowered enough to have it. I mean, if that works for you, use it. But the truth is, you're there. And you certainly wouldn't be here if you weren't there, because here is there. Here, right now, in this space, is there. You're in it. And own it. Say yes to it. Don't go back to your craziness. Don't go back to your stuff. And if you do go back to your stuff, say, okay, I'm back in my stuff, and accept it and don't fight it. Just be what you are. The universe is working through you in the most brilliant and extraordinary way. You are in a process of flowering and opening, whether you know it or not. And when you do know it, that moment of knowing will be called awakening. And you'll go, wow, wow. And you realize you've always been this. Stop being spiritual, just be. Any questions?
Bruce, I noticed during the meditation I have certain tensions in my body and my mind likes to attach to those. What are some ways I can work through that?
Just watch them. Yeah, don't do a drama around them. Just sit with them. It's really interesting when you put attention on something and you just envelop it in a way with awareness. It may not go away, but it kind of doesn't matter. It's like you have taken care of it just by attending to it. It's, you know, again, it's doing this. The touch on the shoulder when you're in distress has such power. It has such an ability to make you feel better. And you do that to yourself. You bring your own awareness and attention to the struggling area, and it starts to lighten up. And if it doesn't, just go, oh well, this is what it is. There are people who have real problems in life, paralyzed, or, you know, you can be, there's a million different things that we end up with. It's not going to help fighting it. It's not going to help crying about it. It's not going to help saying, I wish it was otherwise. You finally just go, this is what it is. And then you watch these heroic people move in spite of it. That's kind of what life is. Life is working in spite of whatever you find. And it's an extraordinary thing. You know, to be able to live aware and find this thing going on, and it's not really you. It's something, part of something very big. And the fact that you have that issue in yourself is really kind of a gift, because that tightness represents a place where your consciousness can work, and it can lighten it and ultimately free it. And the freeing of it doesn't mean it goes away. It means it no longer is an issue. It's just there. It's what is. You know, I'm not going to free myself of my being, my belly, my head, my, you know, until I'm dead. These are what I got, and I'm not unhappy about what I got, because it moves and it functions and it lives and it's part of the world I live in, and that's an extraordinary thing. I look at it as a total gift now, and what's happening for me is the realization day by day of the miracle of everything. The best and the worst, the totality, is a miracle. The fact that it is the extraordinary thing. And we are one with that. And I know that sounds like a mind event, or like, it's like trying to say I am one with something. It reinforces the I am separate from it. So you have to kind of give up even saying I am one. You just are. And as you relax more and more into that, all of these pains and difficulties, they just, it's one, it's okay. You know, it's like, that's hard. Some of these things are hard. They're just there. They're difficulties, you know. But here I'm sitting on a hardness, and it's supporting me and lifting me and allowing me to be comfortable. So you just, it's something you are. And just accept it, and then you'll see it has a, it announces itself to you differently. That's all I can say. You don't have to change everything you find to make it comfortable. You just have to accept it. And then it will be what it will be. You won't have to make it good for you. It just is. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, when you talk about your, it's hard for me to formulate the question, but you talk about your grandchildren, 2 and 5, and they're already starting, you know, all life is being, they're in life, and they're of life, and all this stuff is happening. Is it like we are doomed to like 20-something years of just being at the effect of all this stuff, and then you have a moment of, my life isn't working, and you do some kind of work, or
pretty much. Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, no. Look, when I was a kid, and I was in Kathmandu, and I met an 8-year-old awakened Tibetan kid. He was clearly awake. I looked at him, and I went, you know, what's this? I had never seen anything like it ever. That can happen. Some people are, you could say, further along, if you will. You know, my grandchildren have angelic aspect. At least that's what I, as a grandpa, feel. And they have a fierce intelligence. But I see the world coming at them, partly through their parents, partly through their relationship to people around them. And I just go, thy will be done. Because there's nothing you can do to stop the process. Our path really is to construct us and then deconstruct us. That's really what this life that we're living is. You have to get into it, so you have work to do, really. And then the work is letting it go, and then there's no work. Then there's just the being, if you get there. You know, and you can, and everyone who's sitting in this room is in process of doing that. You know, you probably all know 40 other people who haven't even begun to think about this stuff. At least you've come to it. You've come to it asking, how can I begin the process of unraveling or dismantling or unburdening myself? That's a great thing. That's a great thing to do. Coming to that in a lifetime is what spiritual work is about. Spiritual work, as Rudy called it, is freeing yourself of all the crap you've created. And you've created it unconsciously and karmically. And some of it is deep and profound. You know, often when I work with people, I'm not working with the person who's sitting in front of me. I'm working with someone who goes back, I can't even tell you. I see faces that I've never seen before. There are other people. And I realize there is a person in us holding stuff in check from 40 lifetimes ago. I'm just talking as though I understand this. I don't understand it. But I do know when I go into it, I am working with something, that, an energy that is obstructed, that is very old. And I know when I go in there, I do one thing. I unknot it. That's what I do. That's my job. I break it apart, and then it filters through all of the lifetimes that followed, and suddenly the person I'm with is freer than they were before. We don't all have access to that spot, to that place. You know, certain teachers, Rudy among them, had an amazing ability to find where that was and go, poof, blow it up. It was incredible. And because of that, I'm sitting here today because he took care of a lot of my stuff. I'm trying to do the same thing, take care of your stuff. But in the end, you got to take care of it. You know, but you are taking care of it because you came here. That's, what can I say? It's like going to the doctor, you know? Instead of sitting home waiting for it to heal itself, you came to the doctor and he gave you a pill or whatever, a shot, and you got better. That's really kind of what this is, but you're still the one who has to get better. You're still the one that has to do the work. But every child is building a life, some of them more traumatically than others, but one has to assume, you don't have to, but I assume that there is some great ultimate being that knows what it's doing. It may not be true. It may be totally untrue. But all I can tell you, and I'm going to be very specific, the love I feel for my grandchildren and the love they express for me and the love I feel for all of you is worth everything. And I don't understand where it comes from or how the universe created this kind of joy or love or beauty, because it's surrounded by a lot of crap, you know, that's the world around us. You know, just watch the news. It's complicated. But the real value of being you, the real value is that there is within you something that is so beautiful and so extraordinary and so alive and so grateful to be alive, and something, quite honestly, that wouldn't trade it for anything. That's an extraordinary thing. And we're all here with that. We're all with that. We're just still holding on to old things that make us separate from it and fearful of it and desiring things to be different. One of the great things that falls away when you finally wake up is you're not desiring anything other, and fear is no longer personal. It's not like fear completely goes away, but you see it in the biological framework, because fear is basically a biological event. People who tell me they're fearless, you know, I've attained freedom from fear, I say, hold your breath for 4 minutes. Fear comes. You know, I talk about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane fearing what was coming for him. Fear is part of the process. But you can live moment to moment to moment without indulging that. And there are people who live moment to moment in a state of constant anxiety. That you don't have to do that. It's your choice. And that's one of the things you can let go of. And the more you drop that stuff off, the lighter you feel and the better it is to get through the day. And as soon as you say, oh my God, I've let it go and I'm now this wonderful spiritual person, you've just burdened yourself with a whole other level of baggage. Why? Just be really simple. Be nobody. Be no one. It's really fascinating. You know, I mean, I've had the privilege of having been known on some level, you know, celebrity, little bits of celebrity and all that. I am so free of that crap. So happy to be free of that stuff. You know, to live just, I'm a grandpa. That's my biggest identity, you know, and I have to let go of that too. But that's who I am. And we're nobody. We're nobody. We're everything. Trust me, we're everything. And when you have that experience, everything will be speaking to you and everything will be reflecting what you are. Anyone else? Kidok? So here's how today's going to work. It's about lunchtime, so we'll break for lunch, and around 3 o'clock we'll come back here 2 hours, and we'll do this again for those of you who have the endurance and the ability to sit through this another time. Same thing, and then I'll have talk and questions, and then we'll do it again tomorrow. And you're all welcome to be here or to move off on your own. Bob, are there work projects that people can engage in?
Yes, there will be more things tomorrow.
More tomorrow, okay.
But I'm sure there are things that that can be done.
Okay.
And the one thing I would like to say right this minute is that when you move your car, please park down in the lower parking lot, where the mailbox is, 156, because there really isn't enough room for all the cars.
Yeah, it's down back that way, guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you be the point person for this can get done, that can get done. If anybody wants to find some things that they can do for the time after lunch. So
there are always things that can be swept. There's garbage that can be picked up. Our crew might have might appreciate some help. There are floors to sweep. I'm sure the llama would appreciate some help as well. There's, unfortunately, the lawnmower that I was hoping would be running is not this morning. It will be tomorrow. So help in mowing the lawn tomorrow will be extremely helpful.
Great. Thank you, guys. See some of you later, and thanks for coming.
Thank you.